It's the Rush Hour on Triple M.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy. We'll
get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Coates Hire on 13 15 52.
Nice to have your company, Purple. Bit going on. I want to know right off the top. I want to know if you were at the Pink Flamingo. You've been everywhere up there.
Yes.
Were you at the Flamingo?
What's Damien? The Pink Flamingo, Jim?
Where Ed was snapped out the front with a couple of mates. Were you there?
No, Jim. No, I think you've got to know me well enough over the years to know that I'm a stickler for protocols, and there was no chance I'll be breaching anything that I'm able to do. Now, having said that, Ed didn't breach anything. It was just a look issue that he ended up finding himself in, which I don't think was a good look, but that's for Ed to navigate his way through. But no, Jim, I was not there.
Well, it reeked to me of having your fingerprints all over it, given
Damo.
How you've decided to roll in this hub situation. You've gone all rogue on us. You've decided that you can do whatever the hell you like up there. You're away from people like myself that normally keep you in line. I'm reading here. I didn't hear the show this morning, but I'm reading here. Ed quoted as saying, "As you're well aware, I do a few different things in my life, including being on the board of Visit Victoria." If you're justifying
he's doing
what
it for the
you're doing
greater
at
good,
a nightclub, I'm not sure I'm going there.
Well, no, I'm happy to take him at his word on that. He was doing it for Victoria. He's doing it for the greater good.
Going to a nightclub?
In fact, he should do it again tonight. I think he should go out every single night while he's here on behalf of Victoria, Jim, because it needs to get moving again.
Speak extensively to people in the restaurant and hospitality industry about how we can get Victoria going again. Now, Damo,
you know what he did?
I have done. I'm putting my hand very high and saying I've done the wrong thing on that many occasions in my life I can't remember. And I've been to way too many nightclubs I shouldn't have been to. I've never run with, I'm sitting on a board and I'm there trying to get information. Maybe I should have.
Maybe I should have.
That might have got me off the hook. I don't know. Anyway, the interest for me is whether you were there, and I still don't believe you weren't.
So he won't get fined or anything, Jim, Damo, will he? Because why?
No. He won't, Bill, because he upon completing his quarantine that he did in the same hub that I did last week, he chose to go into a non-hub arrangement. So he's effectively living under the Queensland law now, and Queensland law allows him to do what he did. Now, obviously, other people have some observations and the optics around it. I don't think it looked good, but in terms of breaking any law, Bill, no. And as such, there's not an issue with what he did, and it's very different to the, you know, provisions or the protocols that have been breached by the players who are operating under Hub Watch.
Bluey and I on a number of occasions back in the day got busted at nightclubs. I should have fronted up to the boss of the Sacker and said, "Look, I'm on a board.
And I'm going to take this back to Adelaide.
I was just there getting some information." That would have extended whatever sentence I got, Purple. That would have extended it. You would have said, "You're already in enough trouble, and now you just landed yourself in more."
Does the requirement or the allowances under that being on that board extend to 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. times? Do you think, Jim?
I don't know.
Or is there a cut off to that?
I don't know. I'm catching up with this story late, but I'm still not 100% sure you weren't there. In fact, I think you might have been.
Now, I think, Jim, I think five vodkas, whether you're in Queensland, Adelaide, or Melbourne.
Well, speak for yourself. Harley Bennell. Now, I can't believe this story, Purple. What in God's name is he on about?
Yeah, I don't know what he did. And had he just waited another 48 hours, because Melbourne now is obviously officially out of the finals race. They will be having exit meetings today and will be leaving their hubs as of that moment. So had he done what he did on the weekend tonight or tomorrow night, he would have been okay as well. But to do it inside the confines of the hub arrangement, as we know, and while it may seem onerous at times for people to get their heads around what their players can't do, but I don't get it. And what I think it has now done, Jim and Bill, is put in jeopardy the near promise that he had to get a contract into 2021. I think it's absolutely line ball now as to the Demons wanting him as part of their mix next year, given that yet again, in a social situation, he's let himself and, by extension, the Demons down.
You would have thought if there was anyone who was going to have the cleanest possible slate coming out of this year, it would be that bloke after being thrown a lifeline. Yeah. Jordan Ridley, the Crichton medalist, Purple.
Yes.
Yeah, after 26 career matches. It's quite extraordinary, isn't it?
Yep.
I put my hand up, and we discussed this at the start of the year. I had to look at the profile of Jordan Ridley after the second game of the year when I just didn't know anything about him. His manager, Nick Geishan, has been pumping him up for quite some time. And, yeah, to think he can basically get into that elite status at that footy club after just 26 career games, Bill, it says something about where his talent lies.
And a young kid and won the most improved player, of course. Funny about that. But well done to him. Interesting other, well, Jim and I were talking about it. Adam Saad, who finished third, he hasn't signed at the Bombers yet, has he?
No, he hasn't. And there's some really nice offers, multiple offers in front of him that are better in terms of term, the length of it, and also the money attached to them that Essendon to this point have not yet matched. They've all gone near matching. So they've got a bit of work to do. They certainly want to keep him, as they do Joe Danaher, Bill. But he has been exploring the market for the full year since he declared publicly he wanted out last year. And I still expect that to go down the path. But the unknown, though, is, and I still cannot get a read on this, is if the Swans are still as keen as they were this time last year.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll look at the positives and negatives and the big game tonight, Port Adelaide and Collingwood.
For Coates Hire, Damien Barrett joins us from Brisbane.
Well, big game of footy tonight, Purple.
Massive game. For those who haven't yet caught up or haven't looked at the ladder situation, it's a pretty simple scenario. Port Adelaide versus Collingwood tonight. Port wins, they go to top of the ladder, and Brisbane goes to second place on the ladder. And Collingwood stays where they are currently are, in eighth spot, which means they then have to travel to Perth for a West Coast Eagles elimination final. If Collingwood win, though, they pitchfork themselves up into sixth spot, meaning St Kilda would go to seven and Western Bulldogs to eight, meaning it would be the Bulldogs who have to go to Perth to play West Coast in that first final. And obviously, if that was the case, Port Adelaide would stay in second spot to still have a home final, but that would be against Richmond in the first week of finals. So it's a nice, simple scenario, Bill, that we've got in front of all of us tonight. And I'd expect it to be line ball when the final siren goes. And I don't think it'll be too far away, the Pies.
Totally agree. And the other thing about that is, looking forward to that first week of finals, they're an extraordinarily good travelling team, Collingwood. So from the West Coast Eagles' point of view, I reckon of all their opponents, they're the one they would most like to avoid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you too. Having said that too, we only have to go back to 2016 when the Bulldogs were faced with that same scenario, weren't they? And that got them into the propulsion that ultimately took them all the way in that particular year from an elimination final over in Perth. So I don't think they'd be as fearful of that scenario either. But you're right, Jim. I feel Collingwood has the potential out of all those bottom four teams to do the most damage potentially.
I like it. Now, well, what else is going on, please?
Well done.
Yes, go, Bill.
We just should say well done to Scott Pendlebury too, who goes past Tony Shaw with 314 games. A very, very good effort.
Yep, it's an extraordinary career that he's been able to put together and just shows no signs of abating, does he, Bill?
Oh, he's a star. What else you got there for us, Damo?
Well, we'll stick with the positives. Yeah, we touched on the Bulldogs. I really liked Tim English's game last night. Kicked a couple of goals at key moments. And there was a bit of pressure on them, having gone to Cairns and needing to beat Fremantle to secure that spot. Because at that stage, when the game started, Melbourne, as we know, was sitting in that in the finals position at that stage. So I like what they did. They've been solid. They started the year horrendously with a 0-2 start, but they've fought back well, and they clearly and thoroughly deserve to be in there. And I reckon they're dangerous enough to potentially still cause some damage. I know I said Collingwood out of the bottom four teams was the one that I think could cause the most, but it wouldn't surprise if Western Bulldogs were to get on a roll. Bill, your team, the Cats, just held on, didn't they? By only the one kick in the end against the Sydney Swans. Sometimes you just got to win the game, don't you?
True.
And I know it got really close, and had Blitzarves not smothered that row bottom kick, who knows how that was going to end up. But I like what they did in Dangerfield. He wasn't impacting in his normal role in the middle. Went forward, kicked 3 goals, 2, and I still feel it's going to be a tactic, Jim, that Chris Scott's going to use in the final series. Both him mainly, but I reckon Ablett has got the scope to also potentially play that role at key moments in whatever lies ahead for the Cats.
Well, I reckon you know him better than me, Fat, but this 2-week break will land on them better than almost any of the other teams in the comp. They are a bit older, and they'll get a nice little break, and they'll get rejuvenation into a lot of these players, and they will be a dangerous finalist.
that was the oldest team ever, I think, the Cats team in AFL, VFL history yesterday. But a very frustrating,
was it really?
Frustrating game to watch. Yeah, oldest team ever. So you're right, yeah. Get another week. But I reckon you'd like to get another game into maybe Gary Ablett and Joel Selwood, who have, you know, come back only one game back. But anyway, they had to win. It was frustrating. Got there now, and then they can... Well, it's another season now. It's another season. Yep. The finals are another season. We'll see what happens.
And really, when you look at all the finalists, haven't... Purple, they just managed to get there. The Saints over a really disappointing Giants. I didn't think the West Coast Eagles were great against North, but they got there. Melbourne missed, but they managed to get over Essendon. But then Richmond did a pretty easy number on Adelaide. The Lions, the same with the Blues. So... You know, the teams that had to win did, and I don't know whether we necessarily know any more.
No, we don't. And while you can throw questions into all those performances, I'm a big believer in when a team is faced with that situation, when they're playing a lesser team, knowing that it's not necessarily going to change too much in the big picture, it's actually really hard to get up for. And I think all those teams suffered from that moment. Having said that, I thought St Kilda, I know what you said there about playing GWS, they are just a shell of a unit, the Giants at the moment. But St Kilda set that up in the first 3 minutes just with their attitude, and it didn't abate throughout the whole game. So that was the impressive part of that performance to me, that they, you know, they had the pressure of needing to win to absolutely secure a spot, not just winning, but winning well. And I love the story of Rowan Marshall now for the past two seasons. He was a slow burn, I think, on some people last year, but he's been prominent from round one this year. And, you know, you could mount the argument that he is as crucial as any Saint going into the next 4 weeks or four matches.
All right. I also, as we're talking positives, Bill played it off the top, but Benny Stratton slotting his second career goal in an otherwise, largely irrelevant game. But I loved seeing that, Purple.
Yeah, I did too. And the theatre attached to Clarko putting him forward, that was part of it too, wasn't it? And he clearly gave Paul Poplo, who also was playing his last game as a Hawk, some license to add another couple of reels to his highlight package. Didn't he? Billy kicked a ripping goal, as he has done regularly, from the boundary, which dribbled through and took the right turn at the right time. And now I like the way they did it. It makes you wonder, doesn't it, why that certain teams don't allow, or coaches allow certain teams to play a certain way more often than not, given how how exciting it actually was, and how in contrast to how Hawthorn has been pretty much the entire season.
Well, we saw that we, on Saturday. Essendon, finally, after the game was buggered, decided to just let go and take risks, and they rattled on about four in a minute.
Got within seven points, could have won the game. You just ask yourself, why didn't this happen earlier? But also, well done to Cade Simpson, retired. Didn't want to get chaired off, and he just walked off with Cruiser. But unlike Tommy Bell Chambers, Jim, who saw the guard of honour.
We're going to get to that next, Fat, and I'm going to ask you to explain what happened.
It's a rush hour, Triple M. JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, and we're joined by Damien Barrett, thanks to Coates Hire.
All right, so I'm setting the scene here. Melbourne get over the line against Essendon in what, in the end, was a game that didn't matter, but at the time, Melbourne had to stay alive by 19 points. And then both teams, the guard of honour set for the great John Worsfold, extraordinary career, of course, as a player, premiership captain, then a premiership coach at the West Coast Eagles, and jumped on a grenade at Essendon. So both clubs have gone, righto, let's pay homage to this incredible career. Fat, what happened next?
Spot on. Well, and Brian was onto this. We've got to give credit to Brian, and because Tom Bell Chambers.
Amazing he got onto it earlier than everyone else, Bristol. He's got an antenna for it. Yes.
Belcho was out on the ground just walking around, and then they sort of start heading off. So he sees this guard of honour. He goes, wow, that's unbelievable for me.
Just 130-odd games, but they've all...
lined up for me. I wasn't that good a player, surely. But anyway, good on him. So I'll just walk down
That's it.
He gets halfway down, and here's Woosher coming the other way. He goes through the guard of honour. And it was for Woosher, Belcho.
And you could see the mush of Belcho, Purple. It occurred to him halfway down. And he went, shit, this isn't for me at all.
I've got to exit here. I've got to get out.
But as you remind our listeners, probably too often for his liking, this is a man, though, Jim, as you saw with your own eyes.
Yes, out here.
Drove down Clarendon Street with the roof off a car with no top on and arm over the side of the door.
The Jeep and Renegade.
He was out here.
It was only 12 or 13 degrees, too.
I like that. All right, what else are we focusing on negatively here, Purple?
Dislikes.
Not that we love Belcho, by the way, so we're not saying that.
Yeah, we do. Look, we did touch on the Bombers a few moments ago, and we did talk about Danaher and the potential exits. They've got a lot of work to do to fix morale at that place. They didn't hub well, certainly in the latter stages of it, and I think if I was to put a box trifecta of teams that didn't hub well in the end, I'd box them up in Essendon, GWS and North Melbourne sequence. I think all those three clubs really fell away badly and were not helped by those living arrangements and losing matches of football in that period. So there's a bit of damage done. Cale Hooker, who is contracted and, as we know, has been such a staunch Bomber now his entire career, he will, if he gets an offer, have a look at it, because he doesn't feel he's being as respected as he once was at that footy club. Michael Hurley's had a few issues, but he is so red and black, Jim, that he won't leave. He's contracted as well. But again, he hasn't been as happy as he has been over the journey. And yeah, for their sake, the fact that the season is now over is a good thing. We'll go on to the GWS team. We saw Aiden Corr leave on this. Yes, Bill?
Oh, Danaher, has he been told that he's got to make a decision by tomorrow at 12 o'clock? Is that right?
He hasn't been told that, but if I'm Essendon, then I'm asking for that decision, because of the way that the exit meetings are happening, and the clubs have to get out of these hubs inside 48 hours of the final game. And I'm in a hub with a Carlton footy club, and they're even exiting today. I've seen a few bags and taken down to the foyer area, so they're actually getting out 24 hours effectively after their last game. So yeah, they'll need to know, Bill. I mean, the contract runs until October 31, but they'll need to know pretty soon. And he's been mucking around for more than 12 months on this now. He's entitled to tell the club. But as I said before, I'm just not reading strongly that the Swans are still going to be there as they were this time last year for him. Right. The Giants are just a mess, aren't they? Canelio came back into the team, and it was okay personally, but it was only okay. It didn't impact anything when it came to the actual outcome of the game. And Aiden Corr left last week and was escorted out of the hub. Zach Williams has today confirmed what the industry's known in the trade space for a long time. He will seek free agency. Carlton, I think, will be his home of choice, Bill. North Melbourne's been interested in him as well, but Carlton has put a nice offer to him, and I think that's where that will play out. And they've got no ruckman of note right now, given that Big Sauce Jacobs is finished, as has Big Shane Mumford. So they're going to need to go into the trade period, Jim, with a ruck goal to come out of it. And as we know, they're not easy to get, and they're harder to identify at times as well.
Yep. Hey, the Kangaroos, you spoke about them, and a very, very disappointing season, worst since 1972, and they've got a lot of work to do. With the delistings have already come in, but they've got work beyond that they need to do as well. But the only difference between where they're at, say, and the Bombers for me is they have got what look like they're going to be some decent kids. And I said this off the top with Bill. My issue with Essendon is the Saad, Stringer and Smith...
And Shield.
Sorry, Shield. Yeah. Shield. You hand your first round picks out for three straight drafts. They've got to, Adrian Dodoro, et cetera, have got to be very concerned now that clearly hasn't worked. And how do they then reinvigorate that list with no first round picks to show?
That's the challenge, isn't it? They will again look at talent from other clubs, but they've actually... And arguably, it is arguable, they've actually done that pretty well in recent years. I mean, to your point, it hasn't worked because they haven't elevated themselves into finals winning positions. And as such, that is then sheeted back to the decisions they made to bring those players in, because it hasn't changed the course of that football club. So, but they're going to have to go down that path again, Jim, because they need to, because of the lack of kids coming through. So that'll be their intent. Just back on to North too, with the 11 players that got delisted last week, and that was all made public. Ben Brown, the way I've been reading it now for probably 4 or 5 months, he too will be leaving. I'm still yet to work out which club it's going to be, but the fact that he's been exploring the market now and has had a lot of conversations through his management with a lot of footy clubs, that will take place soon. And they don't want Jared Pollock on their list as well, but they're beholden to him because of a very big deal that still runs for 2 more years.
All right, are we parking buses anywhere? Have you got an extra bus you want to send anywhere, Purple?
Yeah, I do. We hadn't sent it to the Bombers for a couple of weeks, but we are going to send it there now that this season is over, and we're now aware of some relationship issues which have been fractured in recent times. And they're fixable, but they need to fix them pretty quickly, and I think that's where our focus will go.
Lordo, talking right board, talking staff, the great M. Lloyd, as his blanket's gone wide.
It has. I think John Worsfold fired him up even more than he already was when he brought him in and singled him out. And I noticed too, Jim and Bill, that when John Worsfold said last week that what Lloydie had said in that particular period of time hadn't got much cut through, I sensed that Lloydie didn't like being said about his words by John Worsfold. He just doubled down again on him. And I think our man Lordo's won that battle so far.
All right, Purple, very nice chatting to you. Continue, just stay out of the flamingo, all right? I'm not convinced you weren't there, and I just want you to behave yourself while you're up there and represent us properly.
I don't have the excuse Ed's got, though, if I do go to those joints.
So don't. Stay away.
No.
Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Co-Tire on 13 15 15.